Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the historic Rugby Village with Miranda Young. Do you think that perhaps Thomas Hughes and or his mother might still be there in the village?
So one of the buildings that we do allow paranormal investigators to investigate is called Uffington House. Uffington House was the home that was originally built for Madam Hughes. And so this house is technically three houses that was put together. And they built this for her not very long, in early 1881, after she had come to the area. And so we get a lot of different things that we feel is associated with Madam Hughes. It's actually one of the more active buildings that we do guided ghost hunts and paranormal investigations in. We also included on our North Village Lantern Tour. Whoever is in that house is, they will definitely want to respond to you when you start talking about missing England and talking about English customs. We do smell flowers in there a lot. Madam Hughes was known for the gardening that she did there on the property. She actually brought her books and brought some plants and stuff from England when she came. There's also somebody that runs up on the second floor, and they tend to, I mean, we've even had people put motion lights up there and or motion detectors. And when you hear running, it'll set the motion detectors off. So Uffington is one that we do get a lot of activity from. And that would have been where Madam Hughes as well as Emily Hughes resided at. The Thomas Hughes house, even though he did not live there, that is also one of the original structures. It was built in 1884. And of course, he never lived in there, but we do allow that for paranormal investigations. And there's a child that's often seen looking out the windows and heard running upstairs as well. We've caught some disembodied voices that seem to be child-related inside of that building. Interestingly enough, in these original structures that are still there today, there's a mishmash of furniture that came from some of the other homes. Like in the in Kingstone Lisle, which is Thomas Hughes's house, there's a piano in there. That piano originally came from the Tabard Inn that burned. When the inn was burning, men were like loading up items, furniture, and stuff on their backs and carrying it out of the Tabard Inn. And so this piano was one of those. So there's different items from different buildings that may no longer be there that had something happen that maybe there's energy attached to that does bring some of the activity yeah. out in these homes.
Now, speaking of the Tabard Inn, I had read mm-hmm. that something very tragic happened in the inn.
Yes. As I had said, with the Tabard Inn, there were you know, it did end up burning twice. It was originally built in 1880 whenever Rugby was established. It ended up burning in 1884. And so they rebuilt it. And so whenever they ended up rebuilding it, they had a guy by the name of Mr. Davis. And I've seen this account in several places. We've been told this account. And then at the Historical Society there in Morgan County, we were able to find this story as well. But they had a caretaker come in, Mr. Davis and his wife, and they had come in from the Chicago area. And so they ended up living on site inside the hotel and trying to get everything taken care of. And it said that they actually occupied room number 13. And so the reason they lived in that room was because, you know, 13 kind of has a reputation of being unlucky. So they were never really able to rent that room out. So that's the room that Mr. and Mrs. Davis ended up living in. And so it said basically that Miss Davis was kind of a social butterfly. and that whenever they would have all the parties and social gatherings, that she often would go and really kind of entertain the guests that were there. Mr. Davis was supposed to be very jealous at a party. Some have said New Year's. I'm not quite sure if it was a New Year's party or not, but basically, one morning, Mr. Davis actually killed his wife by cutting her throat, and he ends up trying to poison himself. He fails at that, and so he ends up shooting himself. And so at that point, they never rented that room out anymore because of that. But not too long after that, the Tabard Inn would burn again. And so people would say that as that happened, the furniture from there, especially from room 13, was one of the last areas of the inn to be consumed by fire. And then that as the flames consumed that room, witnesses say that you could hear screaming and moans and stuff coming from room 13, even though there was nobody that was in there. And so some of that furniture from the Tabard Inn itself are in some of the different homes, especially there in Kingston Lyle. There's also a bench and several artifacts there in the old schoolhouse, which is now set up as the museum. So it's believed that some of that activity comes from that. Interestingly enough, whenever we do walks there, we take them through the field where the Tabard Inn was. And I tell the stories of how the inn burned twice. And we'll get phantom smells of something burning sometimes. But the weirdest thing is we encourage people to take pictures because it's not uncommon for people to catch apparitions and people in Victorian attire. But what's really weird is right there in that field. Now, there's part of the, basically some of the old cisterns, some of the old foundation, the cornerstones, that's really the only things that are still standing there. Where the inn was, it's sort of grown up with trees because they don't want people going back there where the cisterns and wells are. But I've had on three different occasions people taking pictures of where that structure was. It looks so foggy and smoky and will not focus. They'll take pictures of other areas, clear as can be. You can see the trees, you can see the field. But when they take pictures of where the inn was, it just looks like a foggy, smoky mess. And it's pretty wild because when you're looking at it with the naked eye, you can't see a reason for it. Yeah.
It should be just like the other pictures.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that.
We noticed it the first night that we were doing a tour, and they were kind of like, well, that's, you know, that's weird. And so we always try to account for moisture in the air, smoke, anything that could maybe be causing some type of false positive, and really account for our atmospheric situation. But when it started happening on a regular basis, we always tell people, it's like, take pictures of everything around. And on three specific occasions, that's just right there in that area. It's all foggy. And so we kind of wonder if it may be some type of residual haunting.
Now, you do lots of investigations. I'm just assuming that you have done some investigations yourself of Rugby Village. Have you done that?
I have. I actually ended up highlighting it during my season 6 of Ghostbiker Explorations. I did a theme this year. I did all my episodes live, and then I also did either haunted villages and towns or heritage museums. And so Rugby was the first location that I highlighted. I did a live there for about 2.5 hours and ended up going to several of the different buildings and investigating there live, allowing people to watch and really essentially investigate with me, making it an interactive experience.
What did you discover on your trip there, on your investigation?
So several things. Like I said, pictures are something that we tend to get a lot of. For me, I found that I got some really interesting knocks and responses inside of Kingston Lyle, but the most active for me was right there inside of the old schoolhouse. And so when the schoolhouse was originally built, it was three stories. The first story was the actual school. The second story was a church. And then the third story was more of like a meeting hall for like the Masons and the Odd Fellows. And so the school did burn in the late 1800s, and they ended up building it back in, I believe, 1907 or 1908, but they built it back as a two-story structure at that point. And so currently, the upstairs level contains the offices, and then the downstairs level contains the museum. And so one of the things I like to do inside of there is set up my tripwire. And so during this live, ended up having a really interesting kind of like a play date with one of the kids. We think it was a little girl. We were able to get her to run along the tripwire on command. And then I had taken as a trigger item, I had taken some tea. And so I asked if anybody wanted to have something to drink and if they could tell me what they like to drink. And as clear as can be, we got a disembodied voice of a little girl. When we said, "Would you like to have something to drink?" she said, "Tea." And so after a short period of time, asked what kind of tea she liked, and she said, "Sweet." And so that was really cool, because Rugby was actually, you know, they always had their tea time, and that was actually one of the earliest places to actually have sweet tea in the area.
Oh, that's really interesting then.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even think about that, because I just think in the South, all of you guys drink sweet tea.
Right. And that's true.
Because that's just like water. Y'all drink sweet tea there.
Here below the Mason-Dixon line, it defaults to sweet, and then very few people, you can tell they're not from around here if they order unsweetened tea.
Yeah, they look at me weird.
Uh-huh.
What do you think it is about Rugby that makes it so haunted? Do you think it's that these people went there with this idea of community, and it was the concept, and they were drawn to that? Kind of like the, you know, not to the extent of Mormonism, but, you know, it's similar to that. They all, you know, went to Zion because they wanted this place where they could be practice the religion they wanted with the community of like-minded people, which sounds like Rugby. So do you think maybe people were just connected to the town in a way that kept him there?
I think so. And, you know, I tend to believe too, and this is what a lot of Rugby will tell you as well. It was a happy place, you know, despite, you know, some of the bad luck and stuff that happened, people really loved it there. And, you know, I kind of feel like that a lot of them are there because it was home, and they, or the new home, and they liked it. And so I think that's why some of them still stay. Christy actually did on one of the lantern tours, she actually took a group of the villagers out. And while it was such a cool thing, it was also stressful because, you know, you want to make sure you're giving their history right and telling things correctly. But they had some really unique activity, and we believe it was because some of those villagers, some of them have a familial connection. Others, they're living in the homes that were once occupied by some of these spirits. And so I think that there's that connection there, and that's why they were getting a lot of really unique and interesting activity on that lantern tour. I think that because everyone really had that like-mindedness as well as that goal in mind, I do think that's why a lot of them stay in the area and why we get some of the activity that we do, because there's nothing negative or demonic or anything like that there. It's really, you know, it's, you feel that it's spirits that want to be there.
With some of the people who still live there, in when they took the tour, had they had their own before the tour? Had they had their own experiences with the paranormal? Or were they kind of like, what are you guys doing? This place isn't haunted. Or did have they been kind of like, yeah, we were wondering when everyone would notice?
Well, you know, it was a mix, but the majority was like, you know, I knew something was going on, or they had stories that they were showing us pictures, and they were sharing stories of things that they had happen in their own homes. We were even told by one of the residents there that in some of the journals that they had, there was a few things that were actually chronicled from back during Rugby's time, that of odd occurrences that had happened there. So I'm really wanting to get a hold of those to see, you know, if we can find some of that. It was really kind of a mixed bag. You know, a lot of people seemed to really be excited about it. And those that, because we have to limit the number on the tours, and those that didn't get to go on the tour are wanting to, when we start back up here in a few weeks, that are planning to take the tours then. So a lot of it seems to be like, we're really glad to be able to share this.
The fun thing could be a little paranormal trip, and you could go to your Scott County jail in Huntsville. And then Rugby, you said, is just about 20 miles away, did you say?
Yes.
So you could really just make a long weekend and get to both spots.
You could. And that's what we actually really encourage, especially since you can actually stay at Rugby. The price is very economical. And you can either rent out a room at Newberry House. You can even rent the entire house. I think you can rent the whole house, which sleeps 14, for like $500. And then there are several individual homes that you can rent out that sleep, I think, like 6 to 7 people. And then we encourage people to come and book a weekend at Rugby to stay, and then book your night at the jail, and then a night at Rugby to actually investigate, because the investigation and the lodging are separate. We don't really have a lot of control on that. We can facilitate that. We do all the after dark programming, and then they do with the lodging. But it's close enough to where you can do both and make a full weekend of it. And it's very, very close and very economical.
And what's exciting is every time I talk to you, there's a little twist at the end of our conversation. So today I started out with a twist. I just came out and asked you before I actually hit record, because I said, you know, the last couple of times we've talked, like the first time we talked about ghost explorations, and then you said, well, you know, we've got the Scott County Jail. I'm like, what are you talking about? Let's do an episode on that. So we did. And then you said at the end of that, well, we do have historic Rugby. I go, let's do an episode on that. So today I said, so what are you going to surprise me with next? And then you told me about your latest. So if you want to share that with everybody, it's pretty exciting.
It really is. So we have actually there, you know, our office headquarters is there at the historic Scott County Jail. And so there in Huntsville, Tennessee, they do have, there's a sister building to the jail, which is the old First National Bank building. And it is, it's a sandstone structure, and it was built in 1909, and, which would be, you know, the jail was built in 1904. And so it was one of the first banks to have the tube system. And so it's got the original teller's window or cages and the original marble and the just beautiful bank vault that's inside there. And so it did get decommissioned as a bank. And so we the town has entrusted us to add the First National Bank building to the historic Scott County Jail. And so we're going to be moving our ticketing over there as well as our gift shop. And that's going to create a lot of great opportunities for our paranormal investigators. We're going to be opening up new rooms that people haven't got to investigate before. And I got to tell you, those rooms are extremely active.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yes, especially the gift shop, because we've actually released several videos that come from that room. And one of them is some great disembodied voices that we caught really after one of our earlier investigations talking about me. So it really kind of shows how intelligent and aware our spirits are. We also have a jail cat that lives on the property or lives in the jail. Her name is Sally the jail cat. And we have a video from that gift shop because we always close it off so she doesn't get on our merchandise at night. We actually caught something opening the door and putting her in the gift shop. So the room is very active. That former room was the former kitchen. Before they added the kitchen upstairs, it was also medical and an interrogation room and also a former cell. So that's going to allow us to open that room up. And since the gift shop won't be in there anymore, and also really kind of open up the booking room a little bit more. That's where teams do their, they have that set up as their base camp. But since we're moving our point of sale and all that kind of stuff up there, it kind of opens up that space as well. So what we're opening up is actually quite active areas that we've not been able to allow people in before.
That's so exciting.
Yes.
So exciting.
And it's really going to give us the opportunity to share a bigger picture of Huntsville and Scott County itself, because we're not just talking true crime and talking about the jail, but we're also talking about the economic side with the bank. And the bank at one point in time was also a clinic. At one point in time, it's primarily a bank, but at one point it was a clinic. So it's going to allow us to really start our tours and start things there at that building. And it's going to provide a more dramatic punch because we're not having to start in the jail and then step outside. We'll actually be able to go to the jail and start, you know, right outside instead of having to kind of shift people around. So a lot of great opportunities with this. We're very honored that they are entrusting us with this building and adding it to our portfolio.
Now, will you find any time this year, or do you have it kind of blocked out, to go do your own ghost biker explorations?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the goals that both Christy and I are doing is we are going to be hosting lives from both the jail and from Rugby every month. And so we'll be hosting those on our on the Ghost Biker page, Soul Sisters page, and then, of course, the bank and the Rugby page. And then we'll also, I'm working on season 7 now as we speak, which will come out here in October, and then also re-releasing the live episodes into shortened pre-produced evidence episodes that'll probably be coming out next month.
I tell you, girl, you never stop. You just go so hard. It's so impressive. And I can't wait to come out that way to visit. I hope this summer my travels take me that way, because it would be so fun. And especially after I was like, first time when you told me about the Scott County Jail, and I Googled it while we were talking, and I'm like, the structure itself is so impressive.
Yes.
And then same thing happened with Rugby. And I'm looking at the pictures and I'm like, I want to go there.
Well, they're truly hidden gems, especially in these rural communities. And we've been working really hard to get the stories out, get the word out about these places, because, you know, you've got your large, you know, your Waverly Hills and your, you know, Villisca and Lizzie Borden. You've got these large places that everyone knows the stories of, but you've got these amazing little hidden gems that have such a unique and interesting history, but then just amazing hauntings to go on top of that. So we really hope that you do make it out this way and make a weekend of it and, you know, just experience some of the beautiful history and crazy hauntings that we have out over here in East Tennessee.
And I'll put a link for the jail, for Rugby Village, for your page. I'll put that wherever people are listening on the description so they could just click on it right there.
Thank you so much.
I always love talking to you. So that means I don't know what exactly is next. Maybe we do an episode of The Bank. Maybe we just catch up about ghost biker stuff. But let's catch up in a couple months.
Yes, please. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share all the wild and crazy things that I've had going on, because it just seems like we're always blessed with so many great opportunities just popping up, you know, in a short period of time. So, so thank you for allowing me to do this, and I look forward to catching up with you again.
And that wraps up our conversation about historic Rugby Village with Miranda Young. For more information on Rugby, visit their website at historyhighwayshaunts.com or find them on Facebook at Historic Rugby After Dark. For more information on Miranda Young, you can search Ghost Biker Explorations on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.